He has a Down syndrome. He was not readily accepted at the third grade in Sunday school. Because you know how the kids are. That guy is different. Philip is different. So they kind of shunned him. But because of the teacher, she is very creative. She is very embracing. So because of the teacher, the kids start to embrace the child. But not fully. Sunday after Easter, the teacher brought the leg, the pantyhose container. You know, you ladies know that eggs look like. And the guy said, how do you know? Do you wear them? No, I don't. But she brought a bunch of them and gave it to the children. And she said, I want you to go out, look for something that represents life. With a wild confusion, kids run around all the church property and picking up the things, and after a while, they all came in. And they sat down around the teacher, and one at a time, the teacher was opening the container. First one opened up, and the butterfly came alive and came back to freedom and flew away. And the kids said, ooh, life. Another one has a lid, right? And another one representing warmth. And of course, the golf streak. Then went on to the last one. She opened up the container. There's nothing. She looked and shake, nothing. And one of the kids bluntly said, somebody didn't do the assignment. It's not fair. And the fellow said, it is mine. I did so. It is empty. The tomb is empty. There was a silence. Now, the children, that is, third grade children, fully embraced Philip. Little after that, Philip had an infection. Some no other kid would shake it off, come back to full health, but because of the infection, Philip died. At the funeral service, third grade children went down to the altar where the casket was. Instead of flower, with the teacher, they laid an egg on top of the casket. Philip understood the tomb of Jesus was empty. Because of a risen Savior, he too could have the hope of eternal life in God through Jesus' resurrection. We need to look into a few things about resurrection of Jesus Christ. First one is the importance of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Would you open your Bible to Romans chapter 6. Romans located right after the book of Acts in the New Testament. If you are not familiar with the Bible, if you receive the Bible handout, there's a page number for your cheat sheet. Chapter 6, verse 8. Please.
Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Stop there, please. You see, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the, let me say one more time, resurrection of Jesus Christ is the most important fact in of the all biblical truth. It's a foundational, it's a bedrock. Everything is hinged on. Many other aspects of Christian faith depend on and rest on the fact of resurrection. Let me share with you three essential Christian faith, Christian truths that depend on the resurrection. Number one, life beyond the death depends on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Since we are in the New Testament, turn to right. Now you will see the 1 Corinthians chapter 15, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 21. For since by man came death, by man also, the first man came death, that it would be Adam. By man, this is Jesus Christ, man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all died, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. Jesus' victory over death promised us that we too will overcome death. When we overcome death, we get to have eternal life in heaven instead of eternal death in hell. Second point, God's future judgment of the world rests upon resurrection. God's future judgment of the world rests upon the resurrection. Turn to the left. This time go past the Roman. Go to Book of Acts, verse 17, please. Verse 31. Because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead. Judgment. This promise reminds us that God will judge the world of unbelievers one day. Those who are born again Christians will receive reward according to what they have done. Let me make it clear. If you are not born again Christian, it doesn't matter how religious you are, that doesn't count. It doesn't matter how good you are, that doesn't count. It doesn't matter how many uncles and nephews or whoever, relatives, or even your father being a pastor, doesn't count. The only thing that counts is, do you have Jesus Christ in your heart as your Savior and Lord? Third point. The resurrection of Christ gives us the power to live the Christian life. Right here, right now. Back to Romans, please. Chapter 8, verse 11. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. So the resurrection, therefore, the promise of death, God will not only give us a life beyond the grave, but He will give us a power to live the life as a Christian while we are on this earth. This time we're going to look into the reason for the resurrection of Christ. The Bible teaches that the root cause of our problem goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden, the first couple, Adam and Eve, who committed a sin of pride and disobedience by eating the forbidden fruit. I don't know why somebody came up with the apple. Obviously, that person does not like an Apple computer, right? Must be PC lovers. Listen, it is not any particular apple. It could be who knows what kinds of apple that. It could be grape or whatever. God said, don't eat it. But the couple, Adam and Eve, chose to go against God because they want to be like God. Pride. And they disobey God. Two sins in them. Because of the consequences of this and our ancestors' sin were transpired, and every human being is born with a sinful nature, and we are sinners from the beginning. We are sinners because we are sinful, because of our sinful nature, and due to the sinful nature, we have this unending tendency to commit sin unless there is a divine intervention. Are you with me? You don't have to teach your children or grandchildren to do wrong thing. Guess what? It's built in them. I know my grandkid is just precious. But I don't have to teach them to don't bite bite his brother. He just knows how to bite his brother. He's only two. He doesn't have to be taught to not to hit his brother. He knows. He has arms and legs, so he swings at me. We don't have to teach them how to say thank you. Actually, it's not built in, so we have to teach them. Are you with me on that? We have to teach them good manners. They already have bad manner built in because we are sinful human beings. Nobody can deny that. I know that some of you are reasoning, I'm a good person, I haven't committed any crimes like these criminals in prison. Do you know the difference? I said this when I was in prison ministry. The difference between them and me is that they got caught for what they have done. I haven't got caught for what I was thinking in my head. If your truth be known, if you are honest with yourself, you thought about murdering somebody, or you thought about something bad toward somebody, or lying. What's the difference between con artist and lying in your head? Or lying to someone with that little white lie? And you may say, well, that doesn't count. It's a little white lie. To God it is. You should not measure yourself with another human being. Rather, you must measure yourself to God's holiness and righteousness. The final consequences of our sin is eternal death in hell. Eternal death in hell. This time go to Ephesians chapter 2, please. Ephesians chapter 2. Pass the Galatians, go to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, please. And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now work in the sons of disobedience. Among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the other. When we talk about death, we automatically think about grave, we think about dead body and funeral. You know, I was looking around and while I was preparing this, and ran across from the Google obituary. It's amazing that all the people die in alphabetical order. That is a physical death, but it's not kinds of death. That's not the only kinds of death we are talking about. The spiritual death is worse than physical death. This container will die once. But the spiritual death will be eternal. Not really dying, but continuously dying. An animal, listen carefully please. An animal has a body and soul, which makes the personality. But Bible teaches that every person has a body, soul, and a spirit, according to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. God has placed in human that which animals do not have. A human is a spirit indwelling body. Let me say one more time. Human is a spirit indwelling in body. Indwelling body. So when I say, Bill, since he's sleeping, no, he's not sleeping. Now he's fully awake. Bill is not that body. Bill, the one I'm talking about is the spirit within that body. Are you with me on that? So, go to the 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 6, please. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 6. But she who lives in pleasure is dead while she lives. According to this verse, a person can be very much alive and lives in pleasure, but in reality, that person is spiritually dead. Let me put it in the more brutal way, blunt way. If you are not a born-again Christian, you are not much different than animal. Because your spirit is dead, you only have body and soul. And some of you are thinking, are you calling me animal? Close to it. If you don't want to be called an animal, let your spirit come alive through Jesus Christ. See, you have a dead spirit. When Adam and Eve sinned against God with the disobedience and pride, their spirit died. And that's why the word born again comes to John chapter 3. Unless you are born again, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. What does it mean, born again? Is that a Christian lingo? It means born from above. Spiritually born again. You have a physical body, but your spirit is dead, so God is giving you new life. Do you understand? What does spiritual dead person need more than anything else? The dead person needs eternal spiritual life. He needs a spiritual life that comes from God alone. And he promised that Jesus promised that I give you life, and not just one small amount, but he will give us abundantly. There are thousands who have no appetite for God, no activity that resemble God's holiness, righteousness, and justice, and no awareness of God. You can see that in Hollywood. You can see it in the nightlife. They live the life there as if there is no tomorrow. They don't think about the consequences. They only think about right here, right now. If I get pleasure, that's all that matters to them. Most of them will admit that something is missing in their life. That's why they pursue pleasure and pursue their passion with a passion. Pursue things that would not fill their heart. But they would not admit that they are already a living dead. When you read newspaper, watch news on TV, we know that there is something dreadful going on in this world, not just America, around the world. The death is all around us. I get to hang around with a lot of military people and the special operation people and SWAT officers for my side job. And I get to see a lot of things about the ammunition. And one time I came across the one company that produced ammunition. He had a 6-foot long table. He made the ammunition to stand straight up on the wooden box. He literally filled from one end of the 6-foot table to the other end with it just standing up one by one like this. I asked him, what's this for? And then he explained to me. And there are many different type of ammunition. At the end of his explanation, I said this. We are good at killing each other, aren't we? He said, yes. Humans are good at killing each other. So what does that person need? That person does not need a good example. He doesn't need a good education. He doesn't need a good new living condition. He doesn't need a change of environment. He doesn't need encouragement. What he needs is eternal life in Jesus Christ so that his spirit can come alive. If people are spiritually dead, there's only one thing they need. That is a spiritual life. Jesus said, the reason he came to the world, I say this again, he to give life abundantly. On that summer day, Jesus stood outside the tomb of Lazarus, and he wept. Because he saw many people around him, they were all dead. Because of their sinful nature, because of their sins. And he declared that famous phrase, I am the resurrection and the life. And let's think about this sentence. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. And think about it. If he said, I am the resurrection, Either he's the biggest liar ever lived in humankind, or he's the biggest con artist, or he's a completely mental case. To prove that he is not any of that, he called out the name, the Lazarus, the one who is inside the womb. Not just, he just died. He died there for 4 days. During the summertime for 4 days, guess what happened to that dead body? Yes, stinker, exactly. That, I like that King James Version. Lord, he stinketh. Wouldn't you know, Lazarus walked out of the grave. If you're not a born-again Christian, as I told you before, you're a spiritually dead person. Place of your spiritual deadness is your daily existence. Your physical body is the tomb of your spiritual death. You may say, aren't you harsh saying this? No, I am letting you know so that you don't have the eternal death in hell. It's better for you. You have a chance to change that destination. But once you get there, you cannot change. And you may say, well, my mommy said that she can pray me out of the hell. No, that might be a fairy tale, not in the Bible. Turn your Bible to John chapter 11, please. John chapter 11, verse 38. Then Jesus, again groaning himself, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and stone laid against it. Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him who was dead, and said to him, Lord, by this time there's a stench, for he has been dead 4 days. Jesus said to her, did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man is lying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. And I know that you always hear me, but because of the people who are standing by, I said this, and they may believe that you sent me. Now, when he had said these things, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Then he who had died came out, bound hand and foot with a grave clothes. Talk about dead man walking, right? And his face was wrapped with the clothes. Jesus said to them, loose him and let him go. As Jesus cried, Lazarus, come forth. He's calling out, calling you out, your spiritual deadness today. He's asking you to respond his offer of life. He wants to live within you, and he wants to commit your life to him. He wants you to commit your life to him, and that his life and all the power of his resurrection might be released in you through the Holy Spirit. That can happen today. If you are not born again Christian, please hear me. Hear me well, please. What do you have to do at this point if you are not born again Christian? First, you must repent. And now you do not have the ability to repent your sin without Holy Spirit. But He will give you that ability to say yes to Christ and no to your sin. And He will give you the ability to believe in Jesus Christ and so that He can be only Savior and Lord. Listen please. We cannot save ourselves. We cannot pull ourselves up with our own bootstrap. Because though we are physically alive, soulishly alive, but spiritually dead. Let me say one more time. You are physically alive, you are soulishly alive, but you are spiritually dead if you are not born again. We need a life that only Christ can give by His resurrection. He offered it to us today, and we will come to, if we come to Him by repentance and faith in Him. So I'm asking you, if you are not born again Christian, will you take that offer? You can have a life and have it more abundantly. Don't say it to yourself, I'll do that later. I said this before, your later may not come. Do you have a guarantee that you're going to live another 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 2 hours? Do you know that for sure? Is there any guarantee? I don't. If I die right now, right here, I know I have that absolute assurance that I will be in the presence of God in heaven. Not because I'm a good person. I'm a rotten person. Before Christ, I was a rotten person. And still am walking in progress. When you accept Jesus into your heart, you are Savior and Lord. The Holy Spirit, the third person in Christ, in Trinity, will come into your heart. And He will give you the power to live according to His will. At the beginning, I mentioned about Jesus' tomb is empty. Unlike the tomb of other religious leaders. If we know where we can find tomb of the Muhammad of Islam, or Buddha, or Joseph Smith of the Mormon, or any other religious leaders, if we can go to that place, and if we can find, we'll be able to find their DNA. And you may say, well, their body was rotted and probably sucked into the ground and went through all these different things. Doesn't matter. In other words, what I'm saying is their body is still there, but Jesus' grave is empty because He's not there. When you go to Jerusalem, of course a merchant will tell you, we have a real place of Jesus' grave here. And then the other section, the north side of Jerusalem, will say, this is the real place. And of course they try to sell the merchandise, souvenir. They will argue back and forth, this is the real place. What matters to me is that it doesn't matter which place, south place or north place, either one has contained the body of Jesus Christ. Are you with me on that? Our Lord Jesus Christ is no longer there because He rose again from the dead. Whether it's the Confucius or Joseph Smith or the Buddha or the Muhammad, they are still there. Because Jesus is the first fruit of the resurrection, and we who are born again too will have our own resurrection like Him. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, please. Back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 23. Last verse, I promise. But each one in his own order, Christ the first fruit, afterward those who are Christ at His. The word first fruit here speaks of the foretaste, sampling, and glimpse. He is the first fruit. And Jesus has died and then risen so that we too can have a resurrected body. What kind of body are we talking about? I don't know. That's not my interest. I just know that I will have a body no longer like this. This is a mortal body. This will die again. And you may say, was Lazarus resurrected? No, he was resuscitated. See the difference? Resurrected body will not die again. But unfortunately, Lazarus had to die again. And he will say, bummer, I have to go through that all over again? Yes. See, resurrected body, if we have a body like Jesus, we will walk through the wall, we'll go place to place at the thought of speed of thought, it will be much different, different molecule. Folks, the Word of God says that all of us have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Because the wage of the sin is eternal death, but the gift of God is eternal life in heaven. And you may say, how do I have the eternal life in heaven? Do you know God loved you so much that He gave His only begotten Son to die for your sin? He took your place. And some of you might be in that position. I'm not buying it. You don't have to buy it. I'm not selling anything. I'm not begging. It's your life. If you choose to go to hell because You are so stubborn, you are so adamant, you are so prideful, by all means go to hell. God is not stopping you, I'm not stopping you, but I'm asking you to think before it's too late. You may not have a second chance. And then you might ask, is there any other way? No. According to John chapter 14, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me. If he is the only, if he is not the only way, why would he die? If there's any other way, why would he die on the cross? It's a horrible death. You no longer have to live in turmoil, no hope, unrest, uncertainty of future. God will give you that hope. And God will give you the peace that passes all men's understanding. Because that hope is on the sure foundation of Jesus Christ, our Lord. It is available for you right now. You don't have to do something good to be qualified to have that. All you have to do is just say in your heart, Jesus, be my God and my Savior. Amen?